Well, there's a lot of things going on the earth right now, and there's a lot of, and maybe some people think, oh, it's chaos, and oh, you know, and it's what you make of it a lot. And there are certainly many things right now to be concerned about. But, you know, I'm always told, keep your focus on love and light, and you'll have the greatest impact. And I know a few people out there I've had the fortunate pleasure to meet, and one of them who always seems to hold the higher vibration, at least she appears to, and that is Rosalind McGrath, and she's going to join me. How are you doing, Rosalind?
I'm doing good, and I am looking forward to our time together with this. It's been a while, but it's always a great adventure doing this with you.
Now, you've been channeling for how long have you been doing that?
Since the late 90s, although that, you know, was not as public, but it started from then, yeah.
Now, when you do channeling, it's mostly for people's, like, higher essence or their higher self, that kind of channeling?
I do that. There has been more channeling coming through the last several years of specific, more publicly known energies, such as Mary Magdalene and those related to her that I may have spoken about before. And so I'm putting together another book of some of those. As I've channeled for you, Gaia, and different energies, and occasionally I've done this as more of an in-person group type of thing. So yes, I think sometimes these higher energies go, oh, who could we speak through in this way? Ah, there's one over there.
Right.
Yep.
So what is the name of your new book? When's that coming out?
It's Post-Resurrection, The Family of Mary Magdalene, and it will be out in May.
Really? Now, those of you that have maybe aren't familiar with Rosalind, you were connected to the mother. Wasn't it the mother of Mary Magdalene?
Yes.
And you believe your energies were with her at that time?
Period. I do. I feel that there's some, at least I would say some aspects of her that have been carried into this lifetime through me, as well as other people that, most of whom I don't think I've met yet, but that many of us do carry aspects of souls who played kind of larger roles on the planet. And so I do feel that very strong connection with her.
I feel that strong connection to that sheep in the manger. Boy, I tell you what, I was there. No, I'm kidding. I think there's a lot of us that kind of are reconnecting to the different, you know, the beings 2,000 years ago. It was a great event, a big event that was bringing forward great awakening. And now many of those people are coming back together, but that's just part of it. There's a lot going on. And you and I have done the thing with Gaia before with Earth. And now I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking at these different articles that are out there, what I'm feeling myself, that we're definitely going through a shift. We've talked about that before. Don't you think there is some kind of great awakening, not only in us, but in the planet as well? It's kind of becoming a different, it's like rising up to a different level.
Absolutely. Although in that process, there is a lot of sorting, I think, going on. And that has a lot to do with some of the challenges or clunkiness that we experience, whether in our personal lives or in our larger situation.
So we're clearing things out.
Excuse me, I have a sneeze coming.
You just let that out. That's like,
okay,
Gaia.
That went away.
That's like Gaia, like just having a tornado or an earthquake. Boom. Oh, I feel better. Got that out.
Yeah, something like that. It must be spring, little spring allergy creeping in here.
So go ahead. What were you saying?
I'm not sure now, but okay. Yeah, it's like that. You know, you clean out your closet, it looks worse first. And whether it's your personal closet or society's closet around you, where, you know, things are coming to light, it can be a time where you go, what? What a mess. But it is. I mean, everything that I've experienced through messages from higher vibrational energies, as well as, like you, what I've heard from others, all pointing in the same direction.
I have been cleaning closets both physically and mentally for the last few months. And actually, my wife was the one that got, she said, we need to start cleaning. And I think she sensed something, even though she doesn't really get into this, you know. She's mm-hmm. sensing it too. But mm-hmm. here's what I understand why we're doing this is because if we are indeed moving to the fifth dimension, the fifth mm-hmm. dimensional consciousness, we cannot get there until we clear our baggage, until we become balanced. So this is why all of this is coming up now. Is that something that you've felt?
Yeah, I resonate with that. I'm not sure that we can necessarily have to do every bit of that consciously, but making that more of a priority, being willing to look at that stuff and to, instead of trying to run away from it in some way or another, that in a sense to not take it so personally. Okay, it's just stuff, you know.
Right.
If I use it, if I do something constructive with it, it's fertilizer. And if I don't, it's just crap.
I mean, there's pretty much the same thing, kind of, I guess. So what we're going to do today, at least one of the things I want to do, and is talk to Gaia. And we've channeled Gaia before. And those of you that have never listened to us do that, and I've reposted some of the shows we've done before on my website, but I love the channeling sessions we've done with Christ Consciousness and all these other ones, Gaia, and it just seems like you tap into them, and it's just always this incredible message of love, first and foremost, it seems like with all of them. Gaia's never mad at us. Gaia's not going, you know what, you human beings, you really tick me off, and I'm sending an earthquake out on the West Coast. Or you're getting a hurricane and I'm going to send it right to Florida or whatever. That's part of her clearing herself, it seems. It's like she has to cleanse herself as well from all the energies we've put on her. Is that what you see going on too as well, Rosalyn?
Well, I think I'm going to leave that
left
part
it to God.
Her.
Okay. All right. Because I know you really are connected to Earth as well, and you do sacred things as well. So look for her new book. And if you want to go to her website, what is your website again, too, if you don't mind?
It's empoweringlightworks.com. And if you follow the site, then you will know when the book is out for sale. And I am doing some pre-orders, too. And then down the road, it will also be on Amazon.
Excellent. And now, how many books have you written now?
This will be the fifth.
Oh, my goodness.
One is a workbook, yeah, yeah.
I love your Gaia coloring book. That is so lovely. No, it doesn't have a Gaia color.
Are you planting more ideas, more things for me to do?
See?
Okay.
Anyway, we're going to talk to Gaia whenever you're ready. Do you want me to give you a moment?
Okay. Yep, I'm going to take a moment to shift over and then... I will let Gaia introduce herself. How's
okay.
that?
So whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So my little cockapoo had to come join us for this. So I'm going to take another moment here.
Okay, that's fine.
Welcome, my children.
Thank you for being with us.
It is a pleasure and an honor to get to communicate with you in this way at this time. I know many of you have concerns about me. Many of you think about me more often and in more varied ways than you were once accustomed to. Please know that all of your heart energies are supporting the processes going on at this time. And feel free, dear one, dear TJ, to pop in with your questions and commentaries.
Okay. I'm ready to go. I just want to let you do your thing, Gaia.
Thank you.
And I'm so glad that you're talking to us. And lots of love to you. So what are we experiencing? We've talked about this before, but you are going through some changes, are you not?
Indeed. While I have always been growing and expanding, it has come to a critical tipping point, sort of critical mass of change now. And some of you are feeling more on top of this wave than others. More of you are experiencing different forms of discomfort. And so I endeavor to provide you a more of a macro view on the micro aspects that you personally are experiencing. For this shift is a powerful renewal process and a new experience of being on Earth is coming forward for so many, so many. As some of you, and perhaps a TJ yourself, might be familiar with this concept that I'm now explaining, it is like I do not like the term division because it points to separation, but some might consider this more a parallel universe, but it is like a cell birthing process going on now, so that what was one experience of life on Earth is gradually becoming two. In other words, for those who are not comfortable with the speed of the accelerated vibrations of higher energy coming through, those souls are not required to sign up for the fast lane. All right? They will still have a place. An earth place, an earth home, and not a place of purgatory type experience or hellish experience, but simply a place where more opportunities for repeating human life experience to smell the roses and go through this evolution more gradually. And there is no judgment on any level of this universe other than in some of your human minds regarding this choice that comes. And it is always your soul's choice. Your personality is not capable of guiding this.
It sounds like to me what you just said, if I can translate in my human language,
yeah,
which might be more limited, is that there's going to be almost like two places to exist. One will be a different,
yes,
vibration. And some have said and compared it to like a third dimensional Earth would be the current Earth, and there's going to be a fifth dimensional Earth. Does that sound, is that what you're saying?
Those are reasonable descriptions. Yes.
And so what I've been reading on what's called the Golden Age of Gaia, it's a website that's dedicated to you, by the way. They talk about how some of us will move into that dimension, and it'll be a place where there will be no famine, no death. We will have light bodies, and we will basically ascend into that. And because you're ascending to that, is that something that you feel as well?
While I would agree overall, I see this as a more gradual process, and so you will not move into full light bodies just quite yet, but you will be more ethereal than you are now. And your transitions to the other side, as some call it, will be smoother, less eventful in your perception. It will be not as radical a change, and it will not cause as much disruption in the perceptions of those around you. And so this is an interim step and a very wondrous one to experience that will eventually lead to what you are describing.
So it could be a ways yet before we will actually be able to kind of like have a heaven on earth place.
Well, I would say that this next step is heaven on earth.
Okay.
It's certainly relative to what you have experienced so far.
And there will be those that will hold on to the old concept, and they will continue to experience. Now, you said it wasn't going to be as a rough ride, but they're going to continue to kind of get more of the same. Is that the way I understand that?
Yes, yes. Their steps will be far more incremental to reach the point that we are discussing.
So really, it's about evolving. Isn't this what this is all about?
Yes, this is what life does.
And for years, you held this space, and we love you for doing this, but you held this space of duality for us. And now that is shifting, is it not?
Yes. My role is not the same as it once was.
And so your vibration, are you becoming more like a light energy?
Yes.
Because I always wondered, if they said there's going to be like two Earths or maybe multiple ones, I don't know. If you were flying through space, would you see two Earths or would you just see one?
It depends what level of consciousness you are in.
So on a high enough level, I could probably see two.
Yes, but you would not see them. You would see one as more amorphous than the other.
Okay.
They would not be like, oh, one of these and one more of these.
Some people,
and so you would be sort of shifting your perceptual lens to experience them, but at a certain level, you would be capable of doing that simultaneously.
Some people have said that if people don't wake up and get this, they will perish. And I just couldn't fathom the universe working that way because it hasn't worked that way so far. And all of a sudden now, by the way, too bad. You don't get it. I would assume that, you know, it's a gentle thing nudging us, allowing us to move forward if we choose.
There is truly, it is not possible for anything to perish, simply to change.
I agree. Yes. When I said perish, I meant physical body, not certain.
We understand. However, it is important that we share this a little more, with a little more detail. For your listeners. So that which appears to become extinct, it is actually exchanging form. It is like going to a different format. And those who stay in a Earth experience more similar to the current Earth experience, indeed, they will not physically perish. It will not be about them dying because they did not choose to ascend, as you, indeed you are referring to this, TJ. Mm-hmm. Those will not be aware that another higher vibrational Earth is in existence until they are ready to do so.
What is going to happen to, let's say somebody truly wakes up and is ready to move on? Will they just disappear from this planet? Will we not see them if people are still behind?
No. It will appear normal.
Okay.
In these cases, it will, by and large, appear normal to those who are staying with the prior Earth concept.
And so we will still see, let's say TJ raises his vibration enough and he goes to the fifth, or let's say Rosalind, and she goes to the fifth dimension, I still will see the old Rosalind, you're saying. Hey, three-dimensional Rosalind, how are you doing? How's fifth-dimensional Rosalind doing?
Have you we would not say that exactly.
Okay.
Simply that the leavings, as they are, will be less obvious, okay, and seem normal and natural in different ways. And how that scenario plays out in different ones' perceptions is not identical.
Okay. So it's something that I can't really wrap my brain around, I guess, too much, other than we're multidimensional beings. And we're really involved. We're really, there's a piece of us in everything, isn't there?
Indeed.
Okay.
For those whose souls have chosen the accelerated version, those beings shall be more aware of the others than vice versa. Mm. They will have more awareness of what is happening, if they so choose, with those in the prior Earth concept. And they will be capable of kind of easing the way, the shift of their energies, how the shift of their energies into the quantum Earth, if you would call it, how that affects those others. They can help, and they will in many cases.
Now, I know we don't usually put like a timeline on anything, and you really can't, I'm guessing, but just for the fun of it, I thought I'd. How long could this process take, this whole process, to shift completely?
We have shared through our channel earlier this morning that you might consider that this birthing of the new Earth process fully, in the most physical, palpable sense of it, is now at the completion of the first trimester. That we are one-third of the way there.
Wow.
So this is not measurable in terms of the Earth's revolutions around the sun, so much as how much of this pregnancy, as you might say, how far it has developed. Will it be in weeks, a month? We do not see that that would be appropriate for the full and complete entry of this quantum Earth. Nor do we see it as decades either.
Somewhere in between is what it sounds like Gaia is hinting around with this on this program. Interesting.
This is how we perceive it relative to the matrix of the channel through whom we are speaking. Yes, this is how we see it. Now, is that a done deal? Of course not.
No.
The free will of many energies, not only human energies, are at play here. And we do not mean that as a good versus evil, but simply as what will create the most beneficial structure, and how will that be developed? That is not set in stone. There has been no quantum Earth birthed at this level before. Mm. And so as the one through whom we speak might create an artwork, she does not know. She may have intimations of how long she thinks it will take in this three-dimensional view of time, but she does not know. And so we look more to what will solidify the nature of this quantum Earth in the most redeeming and powerful and beautiful way.
When we evolve to that next level, is this going to be a place where people or beings are going to come and their bodies will not age, and they will not have want for food or anything, all desires, because they will be able to create much easier in this place, because we will be on a different level of consciousness, because we're shifting to that as well. We will not be, the world will not be anything like what we think it is now.
I would say there will be more choices of how you source energy, for it is has a certain proportion through food now, as you call it. Food will be optional. It will be more varied. It will be a healthier and more healing process of renewal in the entire chain, the entire web of consumption between all species. You will not look the same age at all times. Indeed, you will still desire to renew through conception and birth children, and it would not be appropriate for these to stay children, yes. However, quote-unquote aging will have different connotations, will have far less physical restriction, for you will have far less physicality and therefore the appearance of physical restriction as well. But you will not like a look identical, you know, right, throughout every, yes.
But we have the ability to, I guess I've always believed that in our most divine state, our most enlightened state, we could be like some of the other masters who've walked this planet and probably traveled the universe, where you don't have to be, you don't have to age, your body does not have to decay. You can conquer that with your true belief, if you believe strong enough. And if you need food, which you really don't, you could feed on prana, or you could create it with your thoughts. Basically, all the things you hear about Jesus and the masters that were able to do that, we can become that now. I guess what I'm saying, that we choose.
It will be easier for those who are moved to experience life in this way. It will be easier for those to do so. It is not required to do so. It is not necessarily an indicator that you have achieved a greater spiritual status than another either, but simply that this is a deep choice in your desire to fulfill.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty cool. I just, you know, I keep thinking, I don't want to get on that treadmill again as far as coming back here again. Okay, here we go. You live 70 years. Yay. And boom. And then let's come back again. And it's like, can we just, like, keep it one shot? Let's just do the one thing. And then after I'm done with that for a while, I'll go, okay, let's move on to another place. I think I've had enough of this for 600 years. I'm ready to go somewhere else. The whole galaxy, the whole universe, is that also evolving at the same time?
Oh, yes. Always.
I mean, is it also going through, are all the planets going through moving to another dimension?
Not in the way we are speaking of Earth at this time.
Okay.
It's kind of like you would not have a room full of all pregnant mothers, typically, okay, unless they were attending a Lamaze class, yes?
Perhaps.
And so if you think, you know, how I am often and quite accurately described as being the larger entity within which all on this planet are part, yes?
Yes.
And so too, I am part of a larger entity that includes asteroids and other planets and our sun, stars, indeed the central sun, and so on. Far more than this as well. You would not want all of this to be going through the same. It would not be natural,
right,
for it all to be going through the same process.
That only makes sense to me. Yeah, that makes a lot. I couldn't imagine, you know, some people, I'm just going by what I've heard and what I feel, and
yes,
it only makes sense to me that this is going to be different for every planet. Now, some planets, some people will say, like, for example, that certain planets are dead, you know, because they show no signs of life. But I don't believe that to be true, is it?
Indeed. It is simply a very specific concept of life that they are referring to.
And there's,
and even in that case, this is not always an accurate description.
And each one of them has, like, their own energy source. It's just like Earth, Gaia, you have your, you're an energy source. You're a being. And each one of these planets, even if they appear to be dead, there's also a being with each of them.
Anything that exists has an has overlighting energy.
Okay. So even a rock. If I go home and I pick up a rock.
Oh, for sure.
That's what I thought.
Indeed. And so it is like, it is like the nesting dolls, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And each is real and each is true and each has more within and each has more what you would perceive as without.
Is there anything we should be concerned about? Now, I hear this over again. People are worried about, you know, the election, maybe some changes coming. Is there, and I always feel like, you know, there's really nothing to, the Earth is not going to be destroyed, right?
Indeed, no. It appears that way to some due to their fears, guilt, a sense of obligation, and stories that they have been told. And so certainly there are experiences that appear destructive, but they are indeed part of a renewal process.
So a lot of people were upset about the election, and I always felt the minute it happened, I thought, great, this is the best thing that can happen because it's going to bring more people together. It's going to bring maybe some transparency about some things, and it's part. It's got to be part of what meant, what's meant to be, right?
Well, the meant to be is more general than this. This specific was never set in stone. However, can it be useful? Absolutely. Mm. Is it being used constructively? In many cases. In some, there is more distortion going on, indeed, but in as you come to a larger and larger perspective, then that can be seen as part of the fertilizer, as you and the one to whom you speak were discussing earlier.
Okay, yes.
Okay, we shall share with your listeners, for any who are not familiar with this concept, you know, if you use this stuff, you know, if you put it to purpose, yes? Mm-hmm. And when we say you, that may be you, it is also the larger universe. When it is put to purpose, it is fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's
excrement. Otherwise, it is simply crap.
Yeah.
Yes. But even so, what appears to be simply crap eventually is subsumed into more constructive purpose. So it is simply a matter of how circuitous shall it be? Are there some circuitous forms of regeneration occurring at this time? Certainly. And however, it is within the larger vehicle that is always evolving,
always
moving forward in its spiraling process. It is never linear. It is never a straight line.
If somebody has signed up for to help with this, and I think we know, you know, you after a while you know if you're a part of this or not, and maybe not everybody signs up for it, which is fine. What is the best thing they can do, or what would you suggest that they do in helping you and helping all of us assist? What are some of the things we could do?
Ah, well, we shall share some, but we would like to clarify a bit first that it will be different for different ones. So as we share these possibilities with you, we invite each of you to pay attention to your physical response. For one or more of these suggestions may excite you or energize you in some way, and others may simply feel flat or even somewhat uncomfortable. Those ones are not your job. Please do not attempt to serve me through a sense of should, a sense of obligation, because it is actually not serving me well at all. Can it still be subsumed by the larger evolutionary process? Certainly. However, it is more circuitous, and it is not nearly as enjoyable for you. And so it is not as enjoyable for the larger whole as well. So, with that said, and with your your awareness of your vibratory field and your physical response to it, sharpened in this moment, here are some possibilities. You might perhaps rub the earth under your feet and say, "Thank you. I am with you. I love you. I serve you and all." For others, it is the waters that move you most viscerally. And so, with a simple cup of water or the water running from your faucet or your shower or the river or the stream or the puddle or the ocean or the lake or the river, you might thank that water, blessing it with your love. Feel your heart's vibration going out to it in gratitude, and feel its gratitude coming back to you, and observing or touching or holding this water with this vibration clarified, and visualizing this, all the veins of water running through the earth and the sky and the bodies of the humans and the squirrels and the whales and the dolphins and the sparrows and
mermaids.
So on.
Don't forget the mermaids.
Indeed. We do love you and all of your jestiness. And so this perhaps would be an appropriate invitation for some of you. For others, it is the flame, the vibration of the sun, the fire in the hearth, or as it moves through something on your windowsill, you know, creating that rainbow, or perhaps you even have a little flame on your gas range, and you feel that fire in you, and the fire outside, apparently you, and saying, "Yes, yes, we glow with this fire. Thank you. Thank you." It could be the breeze, and you picture all the flow that moves through all of the elements, though it may be more slowly through the soils, it is still there. And the flow of energy, this movement that may be the soft wind, the sharp blast, and so on, you open the invitation to all of the space within yourselves, for indeed there is more space than matter, and say, "Yes, yes, we are one. Thank you. Thank you for this movement through, within, and around us." So these are a few suggestions. As you attune to those vibrations, you may find that you no longer desire certain distractions that seemed so important to you before. You perhaps will spend less time with your cell phone or computer game or alcohol or trying to get a rise out of your friend or neighbor or partner or child or parent or so on. You might perhaps find it more natural to take things at a more natural rhythm. But it's not to make yourself do that, but to, it is sort of like a natural evolution of your connecting more viscerally, more consciously with the truth of the vibratory field around you. You may also feel very strongly about choices that are made that are more sustainable or regenerative for the earth. We remind you to do your best to approach these without judgment, that you desire this because it feels good and it feels right to you, more than it be a lambasting of others or an attempt to make others or force others or strongly persuade others. You might see a sort of natural teaching opportunity in some cases, but not to proselytize. This is not helpful ultimately. Again, all is subsumed in the larger field and its evolutionary process. However, it is a simpler path if you might lay back a bit and feel into your own nature and to begin to more consciously live what you desire. Free will. Beautiful thing. Do you have any questions about what we have shared so far, TJ?
I just wanted to kind of, because you know you say things, I mean that was really eloquent. But I'm going to try to put this in terms that everybody, I can understand. It really starts with us. And some people are driven to feel like they have to be part of a group, which is fine. But it really has to be with what we feel comfortable doing. And if we don't, and that's what I loved hearing, if you don't feel like you're part of something or this or that doesn't draw you in, then don't. But we really, if we want to make a difference, find what we're comfortable with, and just follow that. Open up to that. Is that what you're pretty much saying?
That, it describes the majority of this. Yes, it does.
And holding love is probably the most important thing. Would you agree with that, Mama? Can I call you Mama?
We appreciate your levity in this process. And we would say... your question again, as we have, the love, yes. It's the gratitude, the appreciation, that love. It's natural to you.
Mm-hmm.
We say not so much that you hold it, as you enfold it, and you flow it, mm-hmm. and you feel it. And these we endeavor to remind you of, because this is invaluable. This is the most powerful carrier through the field that ever was, is, or could be.
Well, I want to thank you.
This is it. We might just finish up a little bit here. This is it, not your legislation. There is nothing wrong with legislation, but it cannot take the place of your heart and soul energies.
Mm. And more of us are waking up to this right now as we speak, correct?
Indeed.
And it's just part of, eventually it's going to be what they say, it will reach a, well, you already said it's reached a tipping point, but it'll reach a collective where everybody will be almost overwhelmed. The way I've heard it described is that we're all going to be overwhelmed with such light that it's going to be hard to ignore it, pretty much.
Indeed. We concur.
I am happy to be a part of this, and I am so grateful that you spoke with us in such a loving, gentle way, as you've always done. And you haven't dropped any rocks on me yet, you know, and that's good.
Although we are not required to, because you are already paying attention.
Well, that's nice of you to do so. And if I ever need a rock, if I ever do need a rock, just make it a small one, if you don't mind, or make sure I'm wearing a helmet at the time.
We'll make sure it is like rubber for you.
Gaia, I love you, and I appreciate you speaking with us today.
And we so appreciate this opportunity to experience your energies, all of you, and to communicate with you in this way at this time. We love you all without limit or end. Namaste.
Namaste. Now we're going to have to go to Neptune to bring back Rosalind because she's... She's floating around out there. Now, what? Just to clarify again, because it's been a while since we've done this, what happens to you when this is going on?
I move to the side. I sort of set intention that the majority of my being is sort of playing in the yard. So I don't go all the way out to Neptune. It would be perhaps take a little more effort to come back in.
So you're like at Venus. You're kind of like at Venus there, hanging around.
So, I mean, my physical backyard.
Let me ask you this now, and we've talked about this before. You know, some people that channel, they will be totally gone, and they don't know really much of what's being said, but you're not like that. You pretty much are aware of what's being said, correct?
Yes, I am a conscious channel, and there are times where when I'm channeling says something, and I ask inside, I go, really? And then I'll get a little yes, and I'll get these little goosebumps often at the back of my neck that go like, yes, you know, this is real. We're not just saying this.
Have you ever been like blown away with some of the channeling things you've done where it just totally surprised you or changed your even the way you think about things?
I definitely have had surprises and expansion. Because I begin to feel the energy before the words or ideas, it may not be as abrupt a surprise in my experience. But one of the questions that I got related to the book that I'm coming out with, Post-Resurrection, I had invited some readers to... early readers of the manuscript to have a channeled session with me where they ask any questions they have related to the material. And one person who actually did this in writing form with me asked about the Grail. And things came through that I had never heard of or considered before. So that was real interesting to me.
That would be interesting to me. I'm always curious. That would be very interesting.
And I can't even tell you what that is right now because it's in a separate compartment somewhere and thankfully on paper.
Right.
So
as we spoke with Gaia today, I take away that there is going to be like more than one planet. But I mean in a way, but also it's not going to be that noticeable. Those that move to a higher vibration will exist maybe in a slightly higher place, and the ones that do not are more than welcome to stay where they're at, because you would assume that it's going to be gentle. And things will appear normal. Even the people, remember like in the Bible it says the rapture, and it talks about people disappearing, and I kind of thought, well, maybe that's what's happening, is that some of us will... raise our frequency so high that we'll just be gone, and leave our clothes behind, which I hope I can take it with me. And but that doesn't seem to be the case at all.
It seemed that in most cases, not all, but in most, that it will seem, the changes will seem very like normal, natural type things. Mm-hmm. Although this next version of Earth sounded not quite like what you were originally describing. Mm-hmm. It still seemed, I guess I would say, like light years from what we experience now.
A place where there will truly be peace on Earth and respect for others, all life, and maybe all disease goes away. I don't know. I would just assume in our highest state, none of that's going to exist because that's part of duality. It doesn't have to exist.
Mm-hmm. And yet to have this interim experience where there's still some sense of the body, although we would experience one another as more interrelated than we typically do now, we will still get to have that individual experience that that many of us still have that hunger for, mm-hmm. but to get to have it at a higher vibration.
I would not complain if there was no need for food or shelter or things that are our body getting sick or getting older. Granted, I know illness is majority caused by our thoughts and emotions, but I'm just saying, I've always kind of believed that our bodies, when they were designed, were intended to last forever. And we are the ones that kind of altered that because we didn't stay connected to that true initial thought that they're beautiful and they're intended to be forever. And there's no reason for them to break down other than we want to keep coming back here again and again. And I got to believe also reincarnation eventually will become something that'll be secondary, or maybe people who eventually go, I really don't want to do that anymore. What are your thoughts?
Or maybe, maybe a more conscious shift with less forgetting. So where you're really experiencing being in one stream of life, where you take on different forms, different life situations in a way that would take more effort to do if you kept the exact same form.
True. I guess I look at it as...
Now, you don't have to do that, TJ.
No, I'm just saying. I look at it as I've probably lived many, 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 many lifetimes, and mm-hmm. I've had many different bodies, and I just see that I don't want to go that route much longer because it doesn't mm-hmm. interest me. So maybe I'm ready to go another direction.
Right. Yeah. That may not be the next step for you. So life is fascinating. I think
there's endless opportunities, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you must be pretty excited about what do you think is going to be the change when we do shift over to this completely? How do you see things?
I don't have a real specific vision. Doing something like this channeling actually adds more concrete detail for me. Mm-hmm. I've had a sense of what it would feel like and a glimmering sense, like some refer to light cities. Mm-hmm. When they say that or I even say that term, I get goosebumps. I have a sense of what that's like. But in a day-to-day, it's like in a real specific, it's sketchy for me, but that works for me too,
right.
For me as a personality, and it helps to not have too much detail to get bogged down in,
right.
Other than next things that I need to do, having that clear and concrete enough is more my focus. I appreciate my ability to just focus in one area.
Right. I don't hold on to it.
Some people are more like holistic in their view, and I don't mean that mine isn't holistic, but I can be very simple in my day-to-day life, and other people are more like the big questions of life askers and I'm simply a messenger,
Right. You don't worry about it. And I'm always the guy asking the questions, basically. And on top of that, But you know what? I'm cool with it because if I'm patient with it. It doesn't. It is what it is, and it will become whatever it is meant to be. I'm curious, and I find that to be fun to talk about this stuff and intriguing, and it gets me excited, and in maybe some way opens the door for others because they get a little think about it a little bit. But ultimately, I don't worry about it much. I don't spend too much time thinking other than I realize now's a time to put love out and hold love and allow love to flow through. I like the way that Gaia said that. Not just hold a place, but also allow it to flow through you. And didn't you think it was cool when instead of Gaia saying, well, you need to join with a bunch of other people and do these things, which is I think is great if people do that, or you need to protest, they said just find your connection, what speaks to your heart, whether it's your feet in the earth, which is one thing that speaks to me, or the fire or the wind or the water, all the elements, you know? I thought that was a really cool way to say that.
Yeah, it is the first time I've heard that from her. I mean, I'm familiar with the water part, and probably because that's a way that I'm drawn. And people may be drawn to more than one of these.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely had some new specifics for me too that I thought were really beautiful.
And it puts it all back on us too, because it's not like some people think, well, what do I have to do? Who do I have to talk to? And it's like yourself, really, is where the answers are going to lie.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's nothing wrong with, from that place, taking concrete outward actions that may involve other people and things, but that you center yourself in that vibration so that you don't get drawn into this sort of tussle of blame back and forth that really just, you know, lowers our vibrations and doesn't accomplish what could be accomplished.
No. True. It's easy to get caught up. Even when everything appears to be going well, it's easy when you work with, if you work for a living like I do, there's stuff, and I know it's clearing for me. It's really helping me try to clear. And you know one thing I started doing, I heard this from a gal I interviewed from Florida, and this has helped a lot. She told me, you know, the people always say, well, you need to be grounded. You probably tell people that too, right? You need to be grounded. And how do you go around being grounded when you're sitting in the middle of a building three floors up? You know, well, visualize your feet going to the ground. No, that doesn't always work for me. She told me to put pennies in my shoe, copper. And I thought, really? Have you done that?
I have not done that. It doesn't resonate with me personally. But have you experimented with this?
I'm wearing them right now, and I feel great. I've been doing that the last couple of weeks, and it's just like things happen at work, which I know are meant to challenge me to always go to the higher place to train me, and I find myself being pretty relaxed. Plus, I had some flower essences that I was working with, and I think those have helped me as well. So a lot of cool things.
So grounded and relaxed are not, they're not mutually exclusive, but they're not identical.
Mm-hmm.
Just as saying this for your listeners. A couple other grounding things that you can do, regardless of like the height of the building and things like that. Donna Eden shares this in her energy medicine. You can take the back of a spoon and rub it along the soles of your feet in a figure eight pattern. That's very grounding. And then this is very simple. I'll try to make it clear in the description. It'd be easy if you could see me. This is from Jinshin Jiutsu, and I find this very grounding. You're seated, okay, feet on the floor. You cross your wrists so that the backs of your hands are facing each other, and the palms are facing outward, and then you place your hands so that those crossed palms are at the inner sides of your knees. And that is a very, very grounding. I mean, obviously you can't do that and, you know, type, you know, hit keys and and so forth.
But I wonder if I could do that and drive to work tomorrow like that. I bet that would work.
In the cars that are coming, yes. And the flying carpets, but, you know. I don't know if someone would want to ground when they're on a flying carpet. But anyway, that's one that I really like. So yeah, those are a few methods there. And we're saying, this keeps coming to mind, so I just want to throw this in here. When you were, summarizing about love a couple minutes ago, one of the last messages in the post-resurrection book that I'm coming out with, that's from Jesus. He says very clearly, be radical. Love each other. Like, love. Like, that's the most radical thing you can do, the most powerful thing you can do.
Absolutely.
So clear about it. And you know, TJ, everything that I've channeled with you and many other, lots of other people that you've had channel things for you. I mean, we come back to the same place. So simple.
Right.
It can seem so challenging, but so powerful.
And you know, it's hard for people to define love because we all maybe have a slightly different, how everybody might see it slightly differently. And that's part of the problem too, I think. Maybe people don't understand the definition of what it is. What would you define it as?
Rather than trying to define, how do you recognize it? To really recognize it, because I do think, as I hear you getting at, that we have these different concepts of love, and they're not all really healthy, and I don't think they're all accurate, right?
Absolutely.
But how do you identify it? I mean, there's a visceral sense of love. Listen to your body. Your body knows what that is. It knows what lust is. It knows what love is. And yes, the love you feel for someone or something, in one case, may feel somewhat different than the love you feel in another. But they have great similarity if you get into that, visceral felt sense, and that sense of being loved by someone else, right? Everybody's love has like their energy signature in some way with it, what their love is like, but it's still love. If you go to that sensing, feeling place, that is going to be the most accurate about what is love. And that can never be faked.
No. And for me, with my experience, because I've had it happen more than once, from both my parents and from a person I would call like a twin flame, it was a wave that actually went through me. And it was just this incredible nirvana or joy, or I can't put it into words. But to me, that was the highest form, and there's unconditional, and you just feel embraced. And I always feel like when I put myself in that state of mind, I'm truly connecting with what I think is one of the highest forms of love in the universe. Maybe there's many more as well.
And life will feel more like that in this quantum earth.
And when you feel that kind of love, you just can't help but express it towards others. When it resonates in you, it just becomes, and you want to express it to others. And it's not like, oh, I got to hug everybody I see. Come here, give me a big kiss. It's just that I have this radiance that I feel warmth towards everybody I see. And it's just pure joy. I can't describe all the words that go with it.
And you exude it well.
And so do you, Divine One.
You do.
So the book is coming out in May. And if you want to find out more about your website, now, do you want to talk at all about the book now? I don't know how much time you have. You want to go into that?
I'm sure I will briefly. It is taking up, well, it's sharing the path of Mary Magdalene and a number of those close to her, including three of her children, predominantly taking place in the time after she leaves Israel, post-resurrection, but also referring to some of her early days, and not so much the resurrection itself, but I think a little bit of what leads up there. So the majority of the messages are from Mary Magdalene, her sister Martha, as well as Judas, Jesus, and her first three children are included in the book. And they also each share about their mission now and how they are supporting us in this evolution that we're talking about, of that moving into that quantum earth experience. It was very powerful for me. I felt like I was really getting to meet them, and the way they spoke about each other. And so you see like this whole interrelationship, and that might be how a younger sister would view this one or that one, and things they understood about one another. So it really is the sort of group project of this book, and what it is they have to offer us now, both from their past experience and I guess I would say their higher self aspect that is active in our world. And then the questions I got from, about, I don't know, nine or so different people, each person having such different questions, that's at the back of the book, and I think it really fleshes out some of this even more. So I found that really fascinating. Like I was saying before, I'm not always so much of the question asker. There's a few of my questions mixed in to those messages that, are identified there. But so much more that came out by having different people respond to the material with their questions. So, and the front cover includes a painting that I did of the family. So that was a little nerve-wracking to me. I was relieved when it got to the almost done stage.
Wow.
I don't consider myself a portraitist, so although I've done goddess paintings for some time that are in, and some of those are in one of my books. But so I'm very excited about this new book, and looking forward to the phase of it being out there and sharing it with people and whatever it is that grows from there.
Anybody that hasn't, maybe isn't familiar with what you've done and how this has come forward, it goes back to, if you look up, we talked to Flo, and obviously Joy many times, but I remember Union, the book that Flo wrote, and this is kind of an offshoot of that, because you felt you were connected to Mary Magdalene's mother. And and Flo's book was the story of Jesus and Mary and some of the other players as well, but mainly them and how they supported each other and how they were twin flames and how they came, all of them well knowing what the rule, what was going to happen, to try to bring a greater awakening to all of us. I don't know if I'm saying that in the right verbiage, but that's my interpretation of that. And so what's kind of cool is that you added to that with your different books, and now you're telling the story of what happened afterwards. That's kind of interesting. That sounds very
interesting. So they are very interrelated, and I would highly recommend reading I Remember Union. The energy pouring through that book is very powerful catalyst, and was definitely a catalyst for some of these messages coming through me. So I would say that, yes, these are interrelated stories, and Flo is a wonderful supporter of this new book coming out. Interesting, it's not identical, material, but has this sort of dovetailing relationship. So, that's been fascinating.
You know, and then there's also the reason some of you listening will go, why are you so drawn to this? And from what Flo described is that there were many of us that were around in that time period, not that we're any more special than anyone else, but each soul had, what did it have, 144, upwards of 144 beings connected to it, something like that?
Yes, I'm not good with remembering numbers, so okay. I can go, is it 144 or is it 144,000?
Altogether, there were 1,000 players, and there was 144, something like that,
okay.
connected to
okay.
each of the players, something to that effect. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. you know, I never used to believe that. I always thought it was one soul per person, you know. But who am I to say that maybe I wasn't going along for the ride? If I indeed was a part of that, I don't know. But I know others certainly probably were, the ones that are very much connected to it, like yourself and Joy and Flo. You really feel that maybe you were part of that energy, not saying that you were the essence of Mary Magdalene's mother, but you were a part of her energy at one time.
That's a reasonable description of my sense about it. And okay. I guess, you know, I would say that perhaps one of the reasons and what was required for this story to have such an impact on our world was that required that many souls' involvement.
Hmm. Just like
why it has this such a level of archetypal impact, and this affects all of us. And so, some of us may feel a more personal relationship. And there's no better or worse than. I mean, it's just simply like all the moving parts coming together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I appreciate about the messages coming in this book is that it's like I feel like the children ground it. Some of these other earthier characters, they're still spiritual people, but earthier characters than Jesus and Mary Magdalene, they kind of bring it home to where most of us, you know, quote-unquote real people, regular people, are at. And so, you know, it has things that you might relate to, as in any child and family relationship and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of a fairly unusual sort of experience of being part of this group that has and had such an impact on our human story.
And many of them are back now, if this is true, what Flo has said and what many believe, many of them have chosen to incarnate at this point because this was the beginning of the new age and they wanted to be here to assist. They were doing that work. And, you know, it's probably happened many, many, many times before. I'm sure throughout our evolution, up and down, up and down, there's been different beings that have come and gone and come and gone, and the message has been manipulated or hidden or just forgotten or maybe misinterpreted without giving any power away to anybody. Just saying that we've chosen not to, the vibration was not right, but it laid the groundwork for what's here now because they knew that was coming, didn't they? They knew that we were going to move into this time period, the dawning of the new age.
So. Yeah, I think so.
And all the stars and everything are lining up. I mean, the Mayans were saying that. They knew that. The Hopis, all these other ancient groups were saying, well, you know, there's going to come a time. Everything's going to line up. And then we're going to have the dawning of the new age. And the divine feminine is going to return. And the masculine experiment, which has failed pretty miserably, thank you, is going to kind of blend. It won't go away. Right? Do you feel that?
I don't know that we can judge that it failed. But I think that we are in a very precious transitional time right now.
Right. I guess I'm using words like that. But I'm just saying we allowed it to go for duality purpose, right? And now if we're returning to union, then we need that other one to balance it out. And this is why we have so much going on. And this is also why the earth is changing, too. When we talked to Gaia today, that's all part of it, too, isn't it?
Yeah. It all feels very, you know, so interrelated to me. And so experiencing these things with the archangels and this, you know, these different things I'm doing can seem different, but they're still always about the same thing.
Yeah. And more people are coming forward now and beginning to realize it. And some people are wondering, now what about, before I let you run, have you felt any changes in your physical body with all these energies?
I am very consciously opening to the archangels' energies every day. And so my focus is on that. And that feels really good, and it's different. It's good in different ways on different days. And sometimes it's very brief, and sometimes it's a longer, deeper thing. So that's what has my attention.
So you don't, like some people have experienced ringing in their ears. I get that sometimes. Ringing, which I believe is downloading of things from a higher dimension. A lot of people are getting that right now, it seems like. Some people are fatigued or having body aches because of these download of energies. You're not experiencing anything like that?
Not typically. You know, over the number of years now, I've noticed there are times, you know, infrequently that I feel like things are just being pulled from the very marrow of my being, and so it's not like a regular fatigue, but I do have to, like, stay horizontal a bit, and it's just like, whoa, you know, what is going on? And then consistently finding, like, there was some big peace meditation or something going on in the world on a certain scale of you know, large amount of people's involvement, that it's like, oh, my you know, my energies chose to participate. And yeah, I didn't get the outer notice, but man, that, so now I know that that's what's happening.
You know, that's
it doesn't, yeah, it doesn't happen all the time or anything, but I guess that's you know, as along similar lines, I think, of what you're talking about.
That's interesting. See, I assumed a lot of fatigue was just us not adjusting to it, but you also are saying that we're really, there's a part of us going to these other places and being connected to it, and we don't consciously realize it. So that could be adding to something to other people's, especially at night, too, when we're sleeping. Don't you think a lot of that happens when we leave our body and go astrally hanging around somewhere else? Getting together, I find when I'm fatigued the next day, it's because I've probably been doing a lot of astral travel the night before. I could sleep like straight through the night, and then it's like, boy, I'm sure tired. And it might have to do with the astral work that I'm doing.
I think, yeah, I think you're more of a traveler than I am. I will often have the sense, it may sound, but like that they come to me, you know?
What?
And then sometimes, yeah.
Aren't you special?
I don't know.
You
as
must be.
Inner brat, but that's how I it feels a lot of times. And, but when, you know, when you say download, I mean, that's the same type of thing. Like it's coming down into you. There's times that I have a sense more of, about going out there, but it's also, it's more conscious, and I think it's more specific about where I'm going, where to me it sounds like you are doing a lot of traveling.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So, and that's fine, you know? Maybe I need to become more conscious of it, but either way, it's getting done. The work we're doing. What were you going to say?
You know, no clones are required or desired. And that's why we each have our different, like, pieces of the puzzle that we play. plug in.
That we bring to it. Mm-hmm. Well, it's always a joy talking to you. It's been a long time since we've done this, and I look forward to speaking to you again. We've talked about we'll maybe do something with the Archangels, and if you want to do a podcast with that, I'd absolutely love to do that. I feel very connected to a few different ones, so I'd love to hear what they have to say.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. And thanks so much, TJ.
Oh, you're welcome.
Great. It's great doing this with you, as always.
Do you have any closing statement, brilliant wisdom that you would like to pass forward?
I guess I would also say, you know, how precious the earth is exactly the way it is right now. And as we can be in our individual lives of, oh, I wish or I want or I should have or, you know, whatever about the past or the future, that, and it's a reminder to myself too, to really just to stop and pay attention to how much is so wonderful about it just as it is right now, instead of, you know, trying to get somewhere or recreate something.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.